Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Alan. Good to be back with you on the program. I'm filling in once again for Ken Leach. Thank you to him for allowing me to do this, and to the elders at the Church of Christ, Monte Vista, for allowing me to have this opportunity as well. I hope that you get something positive out of the lesson. If you're looking for a place to worship and visit, please consider the Monte Vista Church of Christ. Everything that you'll see will be Bible-centered and Bible-oriented. We promise you that. If you have any questions that are Bible-related, we would love to answer those for you. We want you to know that we care deeply about your soul. We care where you spend eternity. So please, if we can help you in any way spiritually, let us know by email or calling us and whatnot. If you have a Bible and you'd like to follow along, go ahead and open up to Acts chapter 14. We'll be reading there in just a moment, Acts chapter 14. If you have ever visited a Church of Christ or you are a member of a Church of Christ, more than likely, not always, but more than likely, you have heard things like this. We are simply trying to be the Christians of the New Testament. We're trying to be Christians the way they did it in the New Testament. Or we say things like we want to be the New Testament church. We want to adopt their practices, their teaching. And the reason why that is, not to say that the people of the church back in that day were perfect, but they were under the guidance of the apostles, who were under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so the idea is, getting back to being a Christian the way they were, and the way that you can just read about it simply in your New Testament. What I'd like to do in this lesson is be a little bit more specific regarding that. Rather than just saying very general things like, let's be New Testament Christians, or let's be the church that we can read about in the New Testament, let's actually get into the New Testament and see what they did in setting up local congregations of God's people. What are the things that they did in setting up those groups and establishing those groups? And then let's just do that. Let's commit ourselves to doing that. And after the lesson, if you realize that you're part of a group that's not committed to that, well, I want you to take that into serious consideration, please. Without any further delay, let's read Acts chapter 14, beginning with me in verse 19, and we'll read through verse 23. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. The first point that I want to make in what they did in setting up local congregations is, I want you to underline the phrase there in verse 21, the very beginning, when they had preached the gospel to that city. When they had preached the gospel to that city. You know what we need to do to be like them? We just need to preach the gospel. And that alone. We need to preach the gospel and preach nothing else. The good news of salvation. Now, I know that sounds ridiculously simple, but that's the way I want it to sound. Preach the gospel of Christ. Now, I'll tell you what we need to do from time to time. Those of you who are Christians, from time to time, we need to reaffirm our faith in God's Word to do exactly what God wanted it to do. In Isaiah 55, God said something along these lines. God said, "My Word will not return to me empty." I know a lot of Christians have memorized that, but a little later on in that context, God actually is a little bit more specific when he says that his word will not return. Listen to it now. God's word will not return without accomplishing the purpose for which he sent it, and that it would succeed in the thing that he sent it for. Now listen to that again, please. God's word will accomplish the purpose he wanted it to accomplish, and that it would succeed in the thing that he wanted it to succeed in. So you want to be a part of a New Testament church, or you want to be a New Testament Christian, just preach the gospel. His purposes will succeed. But as I said before, we constantly need to reaffirm our faith in God's word to do just that. Because every now and then we start to think that we need to do more than that. You know, we need to do more than that to attract people. We need to offer this fundraiser. We need to offer this social gathering. We need to offer this program for kids, otherwise parents won't be interested. We need to do this. We need to do that other than just preaching the gospel. No, you don't. No, you don't. Just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and his purposes will be served. I want you to look at something that Paul said. If you have a marker, go ahead and just mark Acts chapter 14. But I want you to look at something that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, or just listen along if you don't have the opportunity to turn. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, listen to this. Paul says, "And when I came to you, brethren, I didn't come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul says, "I didn't come with lofty speech. I didn't come with lofty wisdom. My message was not wowing anybody with the words I was using." I've said it like this before. I don't think Paul would have been looked at as a very good preacher by today's standards. You know, we're all looking for a guy to sweep us off our feet with eloquence and big words and this, that, and the other. Paul's just a plain Jane preacher. And why was Paul just such a plain Jane type of a preacher? He says in verse 5, that, here's why I came that way, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul says he came with plain Jane preaching of Christ so that people's focus would be on the right place, on Christ, the power of God. So if we want to be about the business of building New Testament churches, doing it their way, the way they did it, just preach the gospel and make it simple, make it plain. Some of the highest compliments about my lessons that that make me feel the best inside are when people just tell me, you know, you make it so plain. Sometimes I don't, unfortunately, but, you know, those are the compliments that mean the most to me. You make it so plain, and that's the way it needs to be. Go back to Acts chapter 14, again, if you're following along. Second point that I want to point out to you about the way they built congregations of God's people back in the New Testament times is, again, in verse 21, and it says, "When they had preached the gospel to that city," and now note, "and had made many disciples." I want you to underline in your mind, please, they had made many disciples. We just need to make disciples. Some of the older translations, if you have an older translation of the New Testament, they actually translate this passage wrong. If you're reading from a translation or you have a translation that says they taught many, I want you to write in your column, if you don't mind writing in your Bible, they had made many disciples, because that's the correct translation. It's the same Greek word that is used in Matthew 28:19, where Jesus said, "Go make disciples, same exact word here in Acts chapter 14, verse 21. And the reason why I'm kind of strict about the translation of the disciples is because when you use that word disciple, inherent in that word is who you are a disciple of. Jesus. When you talk about being a disciple of someone, that's where your loyalty lies. Your loyalty lies with Jesus and nowhere else. So we want to build New Testament churches. You want to be a New Testament Christian. We need to instill in people that they have one loyalty only to Jesus Christ. Let me be more specific. We don't answer to any council. We've got no creed to defend. I'm not loyal to any creed. We're not even affiliated with other churches of Christ. I mean, just because a congregation puts the name on the building, Church of Christ, on the door, we're not affiliated with them. And I'm not saying that they're not Christians. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that we're not affiliated with them in an organizational type of a way. They don't answer to us. We don't answer to them. We don't get together and find out what should be preached or what should be done. I don't have any preaching credentials. The only credential I have is that I want to be a disciple like everybody else. We have zero loyalty except to Christ. And if that strikes you as being different, if you're listening to this program and you're like, you know, that's kind of a different way of being, I'm glad you noticed. It is different. And if that intrigues you, well, keep listening, visit us, please. You can convert people to a lot of different things. Many people are actually converted to the wrong thing. You know, people can be converted to how nice a group is. I've heard people just say things like that. You know, this is just such a nice group to be in. I want to be a part of this. But they're not actually converted to Christ. They're actually converted to just how nice and fulfilling that group is. People can be converted to a set of rules. People can be converted to a preacher. People can be converted to just a doctrine. You know, you can browbeat somebody about a doctrine until they finally get it, that's the way it's supposed to be. And unfortunately, I think I may have done that a time or two. Without ever instilling in someone that their loyalty is to Jesus Christ. A preacher told me this story one time. He said he was studying with this girl's boyfriend. This girl had obeyed the gospel of Christ, and she was wanting this preacher to study with her boyfriend. And he was kind of an intellectual guy, and you know, he thought he was just smart to the point where he thought he could bring all of the Bible arguments down and just reason himself out of, you know, Christ and his gospel. And they got to studying with one another, and he thought he was so sharp. He said, "Y'all, I know what you're trying to do to me, preacher. I know what you're trying to do to me. You're just trying to baptize me." You know what the preacher said? He said, "I wouldn't think of baptizing you because you're not interested in following Christ." Now, that might be an extreme story to prove the point, but it proves the point. You know, we're not just interested in dunking people and getting them wet, but that's a lot of, you know, that's the conception perception that a lot of people have about the Church of Christ, that we're just trying to get them wet. That's not true. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Paul wasn't in the baptizing business of just getting people wet, but he was in the business of calling people to Christ. And when people wanted to come to Christ, you know what Paul did? Paul baptized them. Read the book of Acts. Every single person wanting to come to Christ was in fact baptized. What I'm saying is, we need to get the cart. Don't get the cart before the horse. We need to instill in people, if we're going to be like them, that our loyalty is to Christ. And that's really what's going to build people up and make their faith stick. Thirdly, if we want to build New Testament churches and do what they did, teaching and strengthening and feeding people the spiritual food of God, that can never stop. That must never stop. In verse 22, you know, when they had made many disciples and preached the gospel in Derbe, it says that they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch. And then in verse 22, it says they were strengthening the souls of the disciples. So after Paul and Barnabas went into Derbe and preached the gospel there, they returned to the towns where they were before Derbe, and they were encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Teaching the church, teaching Christians must never, never stop. You know, if you used human wisdom, it might be easier to reason like this. You know, eventually we'll all just get to the point where we just don't need to get taught. You know, we'll all get to the point where we can just put it on cruise control. You know, I've heard all the sermons I need. I got all the understanding that we need. But the fact is, we don't. As long as sin exists, as long as temptation exists, hardship exists, we will always need the strength that comes from spiritual food. But I want to say something else. It's not about staying on cruise control. It's not about just maintaining. This is about pressing on. This is about growing stronger, wiser, more mature. Getting comfortable is not an option if you want to be a New Testament Christian. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Getting comfortable is not an option. When we read this, that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. When we read this, if you're like me, What I have a tendency to do is I just think about the physical persecution that existed in the first century. You know, when we think tribulations, I think sometimes, well, that's just talking about physical persecutions and that's what they experienced. And, well, and as a matter of fact, you know, the context was physical persecution. Paul had just, was just stoned. They just didn't actually kill him in doing that. But the word tribulations, let me back up for a second. The word tribulations is much broader than physical persecution. The word tribulations refers to stresses, pressures, hardships. Anyone have those? Yeah, we've all got those. Then we all have tribulations. So I want to strengthen you in the faith. Through many of these stresses, pressures, and hardships, we must enter the kingdom of God. Don't let your faith slip because of tribulations. Let your faith grow in tribulations. Another point. If we're going to build New Testament churches, if we're going to do the things that they did, we must strive for scriptural leadership. If we're going to be the New Testament church and do things the way they did it, we must strive for scriptural leadership. Verse 23 says, "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, it is God's will that an eldership be involved, be leading the local congregation." A lot of people don't even know what elders are. And this lesson isn't to describe what they are, or what their role is, or what their qualifications are. But if you're listening to this program, you have no idea what elders are, what an eldership is. Why don't you think about that? The Bible doesn't talk about councils, organizations, elders in every church. But even before they were appointing elders in every church, there is a necessary implication that I want you to see here. It is necessarily implied that they had gathered local disciples into congregations prior to Paul and Barnabas going back through and appointing elders. And the reason I want to be sure and kind of pound on this one is that there is a very, very common belief out there, and it seems to be growing, that I don't have to be a part of a local congregation. You know how we were talking earlier about our only loyalty being to Christ Jesus? Well, I've talked to people most recently who go out in left field with that idea and say, well, if my loyalty is just to Christ, then I can just do that at home. I can be this rogue Christian. I can do that from my sofa. I just need to be loyal to Christ, and everybody else can just mind their own business. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, if our loyalty is to Jesus Christ, is that what Jesus would have me do? And the answer is no. The will of Jesus Christ, clearly, by what the apostles did in setting up local congregations, the will of Jesus Christ is for you to join yourself to a local group of disciples. And you can see that example many times throughout the book of Acts. We might get discouraged with the local group. We might get our feelings hurt in the local group. We might get our toes stepped on in a local group. But it is never God's will for us to just get so sick with one another that we say, forget it. You know, I'm just going to go home and I'm going to do my own thing and I'm not going to be a part of anyone. Well, okay, but don't say that you're trying to imitate New Testament Christians, because that's not what they did. They got together. They formed local groups together. And so you have, in the New Testament, you read about the church at Derbe, the congregations at Lystra, the congregation at Iconium, Antioch, Philippi, Corinth, Smyrna, etc., etc., etc. They came together with different skin colors. They came together with different nationalities. They came together with different social status. Master came together with slaves. Rich folk worshiped with poor folk. And they demonstrated a deep love for one another. And they made it happen. This is God's will for us. So if you're not a part of a local congregation, I want you to think about whether you're actually doing what Christ would have you do. Lastly, if we're going to build New Testament churches the way they did it, if we're going to be New Testament Christians, we need to get as serious as they got. I want you to look at verse 23, or listen to it. When they had appointed elders for them in every church, we just talked about that, and then the Bible says, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. With prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord. If we want to imitate being New Testament Christians, we need to get as serious as they got, with prayer and fasting. And this wasn't the only time that the New Testament church gave themselves over to prayer and fasting. Fasting has almost become some foreign type of a thing, unfortunately, for myself as well. You can tell by reading the book of Acts, they were not nonchalantly going about this work. They gave themselves to the building of these churches. They meant to do it. I mean, this was their purpose. They sacrificed for the building of these churches. Blood, sweat, and tears. They were serious about it. So folks, if we're gonna claim to do what they did, well, are we ready to get as serious as they got? You know what's so heart-wrenching about all this? Is that the towns that they just went back into, you know, after they preached the gospel and made many disciples there at Derbe, they returned to the towns that they just got kicked out of. If you read the context, the beginning part of chapter 14, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra were the same towns that they got ran out of. They got ran out of all three of those towns. Kicked out of Antioch, kicked out of Iconium, kicked out of Lystra. Paul was stoned at Lystra. Then they went to Derbe, and then they have the guts. They have the courage to go back into three of those towns, those three towns, and they were going about their work with prayer and fasting. This is incredible devotion. It makes me feel sheepish that I would have ever thought that I'm committed. Folks, when it comes to getting serious, when it comes to being as serious as they were, are we ready to imitate New Testament Christians? Well, the lesson's yours. Again, I hope that you got something positive out of it. I hope that I've renewed a sense of urgency to do things the way that they did things there in the New Testament. And it doesn't mean that they were perfect. We even read about the Apostle Paul sinning and Peter, Peter sinning and Paul confronting him there in Galatians chapter 2. By no means does it mean that they were perfect people or that we are perfect people. But we can't excuse ourselves from just doing it our way. We cannot excuse ourselves from God's way and doing it our way when God's way is clearly laid out in the New Testament. Again, if you're looking for a place to visit, we'd love you to come. And if we can help you spiritually, please make that known to us. Till next time, have a great day.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Rhodes. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.